Sunday Evangelium with Father Marcus Holden, on the 26th Sunday of the year.
Our Gospel today recalls a real conversation between our Lord and the chief priests and the elders. It was meant to be remembered, and it was. It was meant to be written down, and it was. It was meant to get into the Bible as it was properly compiled in the 4th century. And it was meant to be in our lectionary for this Sunday of the year. And most importantly, it was meant to be heard by us in the Mass today. You see, our Lord's words were not just for a historical context 2,000 years ago. They were for all time and for all people. Therefore, in what he said, there is a message for us. Our Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, has been in Germany. And one of the important things that he did in Germany was to meet with the Lutheran community. Germany is divided almost 50-50 between Catholics and Lutherans. This unfortunate divide in Christianity in Germany stems from the Augustinian friar Martin Luther, who at the beginning of the 16th century rebelled against the Catholic Church and began a new Protestant religion. Luther is a major figure in the history of the world, in the history of the West in particular. If we're to understand our own history in the Anglo-Saxon world, we need also to understand Luther, because his ideas, his theology, were the background for the Reformation here as well as in Germany. Pope Benedict surprised people on his visit by praising certain aspects of Luther as a theologian, but also at the same time surprised others by saying, ecumenism cannot be true to itself if it simply sweeps under the carpet the real doctrinal differences that remain. There can be no trade-off. It has to be unity in truth. So there are things we can affirm about Luther and things we have to disagree about and work out in proper dialogue in truth. One of the things that the Holy Father praises in Luther was his attack on pride. There was great pride in the early 16th century Catholic Church. The Church had become heavy, fat, and rich, and not particularly missionary. It needed a great renewal, a widespread reform. And there were many figures calling for it, including our own John Fisher and Thomas More, who were certainly not Protestants. Maybe like in the Gospel today, when our Lord is speaking to the chief priests and the elders, the second son is like them. He said yes to his father initially. He had a certain pride in who he was and his performance, but didn't carry it through. He was a hypocrite in the end. And maybe Luther saw many in the church like that. Their commitment, their trust in the Father was untrue. He challenged the chief priests and the elders in his own time. And there's a warning here for us too. We can't simply rely on our past performance. Spiritual pride is deadly. We need always to say, here, but by the grace of God, go I. Because it may be that those whom we easily despise, who do not have grace now, who sin, who are fallen, may reach heaven long before us. But where Luther was wrong is in the area of faith itself. He taught the doctrine that spread across Europe called sola fide, that we are saved by faith alone. He said, sin boldly, but believe more. Luther's error was in misinterpreting St. Paul's teaching that we're saved by faith and not by works of the law. But what Paul meant was not good works, but the old Jewish law, the rituals and the dietary laws that are now passed with the coming of Christ. Paul himself, in today's readings and throughout his writings, was always striving for salvation. There was no presumption on faith. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling, he would say. It's not enough to cry, Lord, Lord. We must do the will of the Father. That's what Jesus tells us. And in the gospel today, we see there's the first son who initially says no to his father, who eventually carries through the will of the Father. You see, our faith, if it does not have works, is dead. This is the teaching of St. James in Scripture, an epistle that Luther called made of straw. But we believe it as Catholics. We do believe we're saved by faith, but faith working in love, faith that works itself out into every action that we perform, faith that makes us holy, faith that doesn't stand alone, faith that is active, even if we've said no to God before, it works out in the end if we turn to the Lord with every fibre of our being, no matter at what stage in our life. The Holy Father reminds us that true ecumenism requires an honesty about these positions that we hold as distinct. And this is not simply a historical homily, looking at interesting facts from the 16th century. If we're to understand where we are now, we need to know this. There are hundreds of churches, thousands of churches across our land today and across the world that are preaching basically the doctrine of Luther, even if they claim to be non-denominational. They say things like this: you are saved solely if you call on the Lord Jesus as your own personal Saviour and Lord. That is enough, and then you can have confidence that you will go to heaven no matter what. That is Luther's basic doctrine. But we do not believe it. We believe in the need for grace-filled, faith-filled works. I don't think that sin is the worst thing in the world. It can be forgiven. It can be healed. We can turn again, even if we said no to the Father initially. I think the worst thing in the world is indifference, is apathy, lukewarmness, the spirit of notional faith. This is something Newman talks about so often in his writings. The kind of faith that simply ticks boxes. I believe this, I believe that. I do the rituals, I go to church. All those things are necessary, but they need to be informed with real faith, Newman tells us. We're coming to the time of his beatification anniversary, and it's good to remind ourselves that there will be no great renewal in the church until we move from notional faith to real faith. There are several hundred people in this parish, and there are in most parishes in this land. The Roman Empire was converted by real faith, the faith of a few, the faith of 12, ultimately. We can do the same in our time, but it requires a humble and active yes.
Give thanks to the Lord, all his hosts, and his servants, you who do his will. Give thanks to the Lord, all his works. On his sons, he has pity on those who fear him, for he knows of what we are made. He remembers that we are dust, but the love of the Lord is everlasting. His justice reaches out to children's children when they keep his covenant in truth. When they keep his will in in their minds. As the heavens are high above the earth. Oh, so strong is his love for those who fear him. Oh, and as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our sin. So far does he remove our sin. So far does he remove our sin.